Tonight, it's war. Donald Trump's big gamble that could steal the spotlight from Fox and the GOP debate, holding his own event at the same time. High drama over a clash of the titans. The Zika virus spreading explosively in the Americas. The World Health Organization calls an emergency summit, warning that millions could be exposed. NBC News exclusive Richard Engel in Iran with the scientists at the nuclear negotiating table with the U.S., revealing the secret conditions set by the Supreme Leader himself. Fixed game. You try to get tickets to a concert or a big game, but they sell out immediately. Tonight, the surprise reason why you're getting shut out. And Makeover Barbie, the biggest change in the history of an American icon. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. To a lot of people, the Republican race for president may be feeling more and more like a reality show tonight, starring a man who, before he became a candidate, proved he could draw an audience. And so Donald Trump will likely have a lot of eyeballs watching tonight, either the Republican debate that he has now vowed to boycott or his own event that could steal the spotlight. Leading up to all this, a public duel with Fox News, public pleas that he reconsider, even primetime discussions of milkshakes, all just 4 days until the vote in Iowa. NBC's Peter Alexander explains.
Tonight should be the Republicans' final showdown before the Iowa caucuses. Instead, Donald Trump's no-show is stealing the spotlight. The frontrunner staging his own primetime event to raise money for veterans, going head-to-head on TV with the Fox News debate just 3 miles away, even drawing a pair of his underdog opponents, Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum.
But by walking and a lot of people away from this debate, you're not giving them the opportunity to know them as well as they would like.
I'm not walking away.
Trump is defiantly positioning himself as the deal-maker-in-chief.
You know, it's called an eye for an eye.
I bought you so many vanilla milkshakes, you owe me.
Dismissing the debates as a profit-maker for media companies, not a public service for voters.
Fox is going to make a fortune on this debate. Now they're going to make much less.
Today, the billionaire launched this fundraising website, claiming 100% of donations to the Donald J. Trump Foundation will help vets. But the campaign won't say exactly where the money will go. Canines for Warriors tells NBC News the campaign contacted them late today, saying they're one of 18 nonprofits now under consideration. But a separate veterans group is skeptical, tweeting, "Money doesn't need to be funneled through a political campaign. Just donate directly to groups doing good work." Will Trump's debate boycott backfire? His opponents say yes.
It's not that he's afraid of me. He's afraid of you.
Still, Trump has momentum and now the lead here in Iowa, according to the latest NBC News poll.
What are the risks for Donald Trump?
The risks for Trump is that he looks weak by not confronting his opponents. The upside is he avoids being the piñata at the Republican debate.
Marco Rubio rising in the polls, already taking a swing.
Interesting sideshow. Greatest show on earth. This is not a show. This is serious.
And late tonight, another twist. Donald Trump's campaign confirms to NBC News that Trump would be willing to debate Ted Cruz one-on-one just as soon as the Canadian-born senator gets a federal judge to rule on his eligibility to be president. Lester?
All right, Peter Alexander, thank you. And on the Democratic side of the race, our brand-new poll shows Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders locked in a virtual tie in Iowa, even as the two campaigns look beyond the Hawkeye State, debating over whether to hold more debates. Meantime, Clinton is also getting drawn away from the trail to raise more money, something her opponent was quick to pounce on. We get details from NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
It's a dead heat for the Democrats in Iowa. Our new NBC News Wall Street Journal Maris poll has Hillary Clinton leading Bernie Sanders by just 3 points within the margin of error. But in Sanders' neighboring New Hampshire, the Vermont senator has a commanding 19-point lead. With the race more competitive, both are now agreeing to more debates, including next week in New Hampshire, if the Democratic Party approves.
The political world has changed a little bit, and now it seems that Hillary Clinton would like another debate. You know what? And I said, that's fine. I don't mind that.
But facing a longer-than-expected primary contest, Clinton left Iowa Wednesday afternoon to raise money in Philadelphia from an investment firm and in New York today.
Some of my supporters, including my good friend John Bon Jovi, had a fundraiser for me.
But Clinton's fundraising plays right into one of Sanders' top issues, Wall Street money in politics. The focus of a new Sanders ad, critics say, violates his pledge not to go negative.
How does Wall Street get away with it? Millions in campaign contributions and speaking fees.
Why isn't that a negative ad?
Does it mention Hillary Clinton?
Nope.
Does it have any image of Hillary Clinton?
Nope. Aren't you suggesting she's bought by Wall Street?
No, I'm not suggesting anything at all.
Tonight, Clinton returned to Iowa. And Sanders, who at 74 would be the oldest person ever elected president if he wins, released his medical report, asserting he's in very good health.
And you know what I'm thinking of doing?
Not with me.
I had to post. You know, it was a tough decision. Do I get involved in senior boxing, challenge, go for the light heavyweight championship, or run for president? I've decided to run for president.
Now, Hillary Clinton is back in Iowa tonight. She only just took the stage tonight, though. And because this contest is so tough, she does repeatedly have to go back to fundraise from those big donors, unlike Sanders, who has more than 2.5 million online contributors. Lester?
All right. Andrea Mitchell, thanks. Let's bring in our political director, the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. Chuck, let's go back to Trump for a moment. You're in Iowa 4 days until the caucuses. How is this playing there? Any signs of a blowback on the ground there?
Not from anybody that's thinking about supporting Trump, and that's probably good news for him. Look, he has figured out a way to steal the spotlight from this debate before it started, and there's already a lot of rumors circulating around here that he may figure out how to steal the spotlight after the debate is over, that maybe he shows up in the spin room or he figures out a way. And that's been, you know, his campaign in a nutshell, as he figures out how to almost pull the rug out from under his opponents. As for the debate tonight, I think it's actually fascinating that Trump's not on stage and instead the focus will be on Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. You know, the other big news in our new NBC News Wall Street Journal Mayor's poll is Rubio has ticked up. Rubio is now in a strong third place position. What does that mean? Ted Cruz is hammering Rubio with a new attack ad. Tonight, Lester, Rubio v. Cruz. This actually could be the showdown worth watching and the one that could extend if Trump falters.
A lot of things in play. Chuck, thanks. And a program note, last night we talked to Bernie Sanders. Tomorrow night we'll have my conversation with Hillary Clinton on the trail in Iowa, the final sprint before the voting begins. A warning now from the World Health Organization that the Zika virus is, quote, spreading explosively. And this year alone, 3 to 4 million in North and South America could be infected with the virus linked to birth defects. The CDC says the number of people returning to the U.S. with Zika is growing. NBC's Tom Costello has more.
Dr. Whitney Prince is one of the few Americans who has experienced the Zika virus as a patient. It was on her honeymoon in Bora Bora that she contracted Zika through a mosquito bite. Once home, she developed a skin rash, conjunctivitis, and a headache.
Feeling very worn out, tired, kind of dragging, and I actually ended up staying out of work for about a day and a half, mainly because of the joint pains, just because it was painful to walk at that point.
Dr. Prince recovered, and she was not pregnant. No unborn child at risk of developing microcephaly. But in Recife, Brazil today, NBC News was with 20-year-old Tuana Parara as she visited her doctor. Her 2-month-old, Thaisa, is one of thousands of babies who've been born with microcephaly in the last year. While Zika-carrying mosquitoes have not yet arrived in the U.S., the CDC today reported 31 Zika cases have turned up in 11 states and D.C. All of them involve travelers who've contracted Zika while abroad. In addition, 19 cases in Puerto Rico and one in the Virgin Islands. We don't know how many involve pregnant women. While experts expect some Zika mosquitoes will arrive in southern Gulf states, they don't expect a massive outbreak.
There is always the slight possibility that we might see a major outbreak. We don't think that's going to occur, but we're going to be prepared for it.
The reasons for the optimism: there's far less trash and stagnant water in U.S. urban areas. Cities and towns spray for mosquitoes here. Cold weather acts as a barrier. And Americans use air conditioning and window screens to keep mosquitoes out. Meanwhile, Gina Park is 18 weeks pregnant. She and her husband have now canceled an upcoming trip to Mexico.
We just thought it wasn't worth the risk to go. We just probably couldn't live with ourselves if something ever did happen.
Meanwhile, the National Institutes of Health today said it hopes to start clinical drug trials this year, but a Zika vaccine could be years away. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Let's turn now to a mystery that played out for hours late this afternoon in the New York area as reports started to stream in of what felt like an earthquake from the Jersey Shore all the way to Long Island and Connecticut, prompting a flurry of 911 calls. Turns out it was actually a series of sonic booms caused by a military F-35 fighter jet based in Maryland conducting flight tests off in the New Jersey coast. So mystery solved, just a lot of frayed nerves left behind. And we have breaking news on that tense stalemate in Oregon at the federal refuge seized by armed anti-government protesters. Just four holdouts remain, and we're now hearing a convoy has left the checkpoint and the roadblock has been removed. Signs that things may be coming to a conclusion there. Leader Ayman Bundy had urged them to stand down. Bundy was arrested Tuesday when violence erupted during a traffic stop and left one member of his group dead. Now to an NBC News exclusive. We've gotten extraordinary access into Iran. And in a rare interview, the American-educated head of Iran's nuclear program reveals to NBC's Richard Engel never before heard details about the controversial deal that lifted international sanctions on Iran.
Little is known about how Iran ended up making a deal with its old enemy, the United States. But now, in the first American interview since the deal, the head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization told NBC News his country's supreme leader, its Ayatollah, entrusted him with hammering out the details of the nuclear agreement within limits.
He said, "I do not trust the Americans, but okay, I trust you. You give it a try and see what you can do."
Ali Akbar Salehi, an MIT-educated scientist, revealed for the first time conditions the supreme leader set.
One condition was that, look, you just discussed the nuclear issue. I mean, no political negotiations.
The Ayatollah also insisted talks had to be quick and preserve Iran's right to enrich uranium.
The fourth condition was a condition that let's keep it for ourselves.
You don't want to say what it is even now?
Not now.
But he did want to talk about taking relations with the U.S. to a level not seen since American diplomats were taken hostage at the U.S. Embassy here 36 years ago.
Relationships, industrial cooperation, cultural cooperation.
American factories opening here? Is that what you mean? Industrial
cooperation? Well, we welcome them, yes, if they want. Why not?
But trust is hard to build.
These photographs are our nuclear martyrs.
Salehi keeps photographs in his office of four nuclear scientists and a driver assassinated in an effort to slow Iran's nuclear program. He claims Israel did the killings with Washington's tacit approval. Allegations Washington denies and Israel won't confirm.
And there's a space here. Do you think there will be a sixth? I know obviously you don't want
yes.
that, but do you think
I
it's
hope
possible?
It's me. I hope it's me.
You hope it's you?
Yeah. Yeah, because this is a source of pride, I told you. Yeah. We look for martyrdom.
A wide gap still exists between the U.S. and Iran, and the zeal of its revolution remains just below the surface. Richard Engel, NBC News, Tehran.
It was exactly 30 years ago when seven crew members boarded the space shuttle Challenger and set off on an adventure. But 73 seconds later, in a moment seared into the memories of the many Americans who watched it live and the many more who saw it replayed, the mission ended in a tragic disaster in the sky. NBC's Kevin Tibbles takes us back to the moment that forever changed American space exploration.
And liftoff.
On a clear but unusually cold Cape Canaveral morning,
and it has cleared the tower.
Space Shuttle Challenger left this Earth and headed for space, filled with anticipation and hope. But at 11:39 Eastern Standard Time,
Challenger, go with throttle up.
We have just seen the launch of the Space Shuttle Challenger. There has been a major problem.
The shuttle tragically disintegrated high over the Atlantic. Its crew of seven gone, including Krista McAuliffe, the first teacher in space. Her parents watched at the Cape. Her students were watching in New Hampshire. Some of those students and others across the country would later choose to honor her memory by becoming teachers themselves. Today at ceremonies from Arlington National Cemetery to Cape Canaveral, wreaths were laid in remembrance.
Ellison S. Onizuka.
We are still reaching for the stars, from the Mars rover on the red planet to stunning new pictures of Pluto from the probe New Horizons. And, of course, the International Space Station, where today a moment of silence was held. But it was on that January night, 3 decades ago, that President Ronald Reagan postponed his State of the Union address to deliver his poignant remembrance.
The future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted. It belongs to the brave. The Challenger crew was pulling us into the future, and we'll continue to follow them.
Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chicago.
There is a big change coming for new moms in the military. The Pentagon announced that it will now grant 12 weeks of maternity leave to women across all branches. That's good news for the Army and Air Force because it doubles their leave time. Bad news for the Navy and Marines because it cuts their leave back from 18 weeks. When we come back here tonight, Barbie is breaking with the past, why the iconic doll line is getting a historic makeover. Finally tonight, a historic change for one of the most popular toys of all time. For generations, Barbie dolls have presented an image of perfect beauty, and for many, that's exactly the problem. But now, as NBC's Erica Hill tells us, Barbie is getting a whole new look.
Barbie, you're beautiful.
Since Barbie debuted in 1959, she's tried just about every job.
Teacher Barbie says, try it again.
But one thing that never changed, her figure, until today, when toy maker Mattel introduced 3 new Barbie body types to better represent the shapes and sizes of real women. Petite, tall, and curvy.
I think it's about time that they change shape.
Critics had long complained Barbie's body was an impossible ideal, and there was growing pressure for a more physically realistic doll. Mattel went back to the drawing board, building on additions made in 2015, which introduced more diverse options.
Society felt that a brand like Barbie needs to be more in touch with the times and needs to be a better reflection of the world that girls are living in today.
While Barbie remains a bestseller for Mattel, 92% of American girls ages 3 to 12 have owned one of the dolls. Sales plunged 20% from 2012 to 2014, a slide that continued into 2015.
More and more brands are recognizing that women and girls as consumers and as audiences, they need more, they demand more, they want more, and they'll spend more.
Mattel is hoping the new dolls, available online now in stores this March, will help to boost sales.
Times are changing. Life has changed. We're all different shapes, different colors, different ethnicities.
It just may be Barbie's freshest look ever. Erica Hill, NBC News, New York.
And that will do it for us on this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.